Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
You movie fans out there. This is Betty Jo Tucker thanking you for tuning in to Movie Addict Headquarters. You're in for a real treat today, folks, because we're celebrating the remarkable showbiz career of Lucille Ball, the Queen of Comedy. You know, Lucy was born on August 6, 1911, and we paid tribute to her, and we're very honored to do so, during her 100th birthday. But as you know, everyone loves Lucy, so we decided to revisit that fun episode on today, which is August 5th, right before her 103rd birthday. You'll be hearing from two very special guests, James Sheridan, co-author of Lucille Ball FAQ, Everything Left to Know About America's Favorite Redhead, and Elizabeth Edwards, author of I Love Lucy, a celebration of all things Lucy. Now, we've extended the show to 60 minutes, so be sure to stay with us for the entire time, because thanks to Danny Dyer and Richard B. Smart, at the end of the show, you'll get to hear Lucy herself perform my favorite musical number from one of her early movies. So let's get this celebration started right now. I'd like to bring both of our guests on now, ladies first as always. So Elizabeth, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
I'm so glad you could be with us today, Elizabeth. And I'm also glad that James could join us. Hi, James.
Hi, Betty Jo. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you both on our show, and we have lots of questions to ask you guys about Lucille Ball. But first, we need the go-ahead from Danny, our interim producer and chat wrangler. Danny, is the chat room open and ready for people to sign in?
Why, yes, this is Danny reporting live from the chat room. We've rolled out the red carpet. Guests are arriving left and right, and we are waiting to pay tribute to the fabulous Lucille Ball.
Just as a quick reminder,
you can join the chat room by going to the top right-hand section of the webpage, clicking sign up. It's absolutely free and fast, and you can come join in the behind-the-scenes chit-chat in the chat room.
Thanks, Danny. That was a great description of the chat room. And I think maybe you're a Lucille Ball fan, am I right?
I love Lucille Ball.
I hear you had a dream about her last night.
Yes, last night I dreamed about the show. I was so excited because I grew up watching I Love Lucy and Gilligan's Island and things like that. And now that I'm grown up, I see myself so much like Lucille Ball was in I Love Lucy, because I find myself, you know, blowing up bread dough in the kitchen and trying to hurry up and scrub the walls so my husband don't find out.
I know the feeling. There's so many of us, yes. The only thing I haven't mastered is that fake cry that Lucy used to make whenever she didn't get her way. I'm working on that, but I haven't mastered that. Well, anyway, thank you, Danny, for taking such good care of the chat. And to the people who are participating, as well as to our other listeners, we really appreciate it. Plus, as always, we appreciate Jazz for being here to co-host. Jazz, I think you've had some problem over there on the East Coast, but you are a Lucille Ball fan. Am I right about that?
Long-time Lucille Ball fan. I'm just hoping we have the technical capability to get the show done today.
Yes, I used to live in California, and we kind of expected earthquakes, but not so much on the East Coast. We've had some reported ones here in Colorado too. So things are kind of rolling along, I guess. We'll hope that that everything runs smoothly here for the show. And you know, Jazz, as I mentioned before, I think everyone loves Lucy, and we're so fortunate to have Elizabeth and James with us because they have a lot of information to share about the Queen of Comedy. You know, Jazz, when I started planning this tribute show, I thought it would be great if Lucy's daughter, Lucy Arnaz, could join us. So I was referred to her office, and the very helpful Elizabeth Edwards answered my call. But little did I know that Elizabeth worked with Desilu LLC, which is a company Lucy Arnaz and Desi Arnaz Jr. put together to manage their parents' estate. And I also didn't know that she has also written books about Lucille Ball, with a new one coming out in October. So when Lucy wasn't able to be with us, Elizabeth graciously accepted my invitation, and I'm very glad she did. I'd like to chat with Elizabeth first, Jazz, and then you and I will interview James after that. I have extended the show to 60 minutes so no one feels rushed. Elizabeth, I'm curious about how you became involved with Lucy and Desi.
Well, it was a long time ago. It was 1992, and Lucy Arnaz and her husband, Lawrence Luckinbill, were putting together their Emmy Award-winning documentary called Lucy and Desi, a Home Movie. And they needed somebody in the office, and my longest ever girlfriend since we were 2 years old, Susan, her parents were helping direct and produce the show. So they called me and said they need somebody in the office for 3 or 4 months to help out with this movie, and can you do that? And I said, sure, and I did that. And then when the 3 and 4 months were over, they said, please stay. So there you go. 19 years later, I'm still there.
Oh, well, that's a great job that you have there, and they must be such interesting people to work with. But you still, although working there, you still have time to write books, many of them about Lucille Ball. Can you tell us what books you've written about Lucy?
Sure, absolutely. Actually, the books started, we have licenses. Desilu, too, has licenses with companies who create products for us, you know, cookie jars and model cars and dolls and things like that. So one of them was a book license, a publisher called Running Press, and they wanted Lucy Arnaz to write some books, and she said, I don't have time to do that. I don't want to do that. Why don't you take a shot at it? So that's how it all started with me. The first book that I wrote is a little one of those little tiny books that is about 2x2, and you can put it in somebody's stocking really easily. It's called I Love Lucy's Guide to Life. And then after that, it was the 50th anniversary, so I wrote the 50th anniversary book, which actually I believe has just been re-released in paperback, so after 10 years. And then there were a couple of scrapbooks called the Lucille Ball Desi Arnaz scrapbook, which was taken from their actual scrapbooks and reproduced in a smaller version, and then the I Love Lucy scrapbook, which followed the same thing. And then there was another one of those tiny books called I Love Lucy Best Friends. And then the 60th anniversary is next month, I mean October. So that book was just written last year.
You've been a busy lady.
And I have.
I love the cover on your book, A Celebration of All Things Lucy. Is that? I know it isn't coming out until October, but can listeners pre-order the book at this point?
I'm pretty sure that they probably can. They can probably go on Amazon and do that. I'm really not sure. I don't have anything to do with sales or anything, but I'm sure if they go on Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com, they can pre-order it.
Oh, I encourage our listeners to do that, especially the Lucy fans. And I want to get a copy of that book, too. The cover definitely intrigues me. How did you choose that cover?
I actually didn't. The publisher did that. But it's a great image of her with her nose on fire. So
yes,
everybody knows it, and it's funny, and it brings back great memories, and it's a great picture of her with her eyes crossed, and they couldn't have done a better job.
Well, we did put a picture of that in the slideshow on our show page, so our listeners know what I mean when I'm talking about that that delightful book cover. This is, after all, Movie Addict Headquarters, Elizabeth. So I wonder if you have any favorite Lucille Ball films. She's made over 80 films. I know we mostly remember her for the I Love Lucy TV shows, but since I'm a no spring chicken, I first got introduced to Lucille Ball was at the movies and fell in love with her there. So we should talk about some of her movies.
Absolutely.
Do you have any favorites?
You know, it's really funny because before I went to work for the Arnaz family, I didn't know that she had done any movies. I had no clue that she had ever made one movie, and so it was a big revelation to me that she had made dozens of movies. I love, I've seen them on Turner. Stage Door is a great movie with Ginger Rogers and Katharine Hepburn. It's a terrific movie, and Lucy is very funny in that. Another one is Having Wonderful Time, again with Ginger Rogers and Red Skelton. They all go away to this camp. It's like a summer camp for grown-ups to get out of the city, and they are all up there together, living in kind of a camp-like atmosphere. And but they're adults, so there's dating going on and boyfriends and girlfriends. It's really very funny, and she's great in it. That was in the late 30s, and Lord is a great L-U-R-E-D. Lord is a great movie. They have terrific costumes, and it's really a 1940s kind of mystery, really rich movie. I love, of course, The Long, Long Trailer, because who doesn't? It's funny. Oh. It's with Desi. It's very Lucy Ricardo-esque. There's a lot of kind of slapstick that goes on, and they're both very funny in it, and it's just a really warm love story. Another one is The Big Street with Henry Fonda. That was a 1942 movie that was, she was very proud of herself, actually, in that. It was her first real dramatic role, and she was very proud of her work in that, because before that, she had always been kind of the comedic foil, and she really sunk her teeth into that movie, and she really thought that, you know, she could prove that she could actually do it.
And she should have had an Oscar nomination for that. Film. I saw it recently on Turner Classic Movies, and that was, I mean, it certainly was not the Lucille Ball that we know and love, but what terrific acting she did in that.
It's a great movie. And Yours, Mine, and Ours from 1968, when she marries Henry Fonda, and they take her 8 children and his 10 children or whatever it is, and they put them all together, and then they have 2 more children, and it's a crazy kind of Lucy Ricardo-esque movie again. Her movies with,
I think that one won the I think that's probably her highest grossing movie, if I'm not mistaken.
Very
Yours,
possibly.
Mine, and Ours.
Yeah, very
I think it is.
She did quite a few movies with Bob Hope, which are great. The Facts of Life. What were some of the other ones? Sorrowful
Fancy
Joan.
Fancy Pants,
of course. Fancy Pants and Sorrowful Jones, and she did a bunch Critics' Choice, yes. Yeah, and they got along really well, and they play off each other terrifically in those movies. So a lot of them were, I'm trying to think of other ones that were really great.
Well, what about The Fuller Brush Girl? Because that's
The Fuller Brush
favorites.
Girl is funny. Funny, funny movie.
The slapstick that she did in that film. I just was exhausted.
I know.
I mean, I was laughing.
I know. She wasn't a young woman either. She was, you know, in her late 30s and rolling around like that and doing all kinds of crazy things. Du Barry was a lady. That was
musical,
her first color, or one of her first color movies.
She looked great.
She did a couple of movies during the war that had to do with war, 7 Days Leave. she marries somebody or something. Somebody has to marry somebody in 7 days in order to collect an inheritance. It's with Victor Mature. So she did a couple, and Desi did a really good movie too in the during the war years, called Bataan. He won an award for that. He plays an army sergeant. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of good movies from that time.
Well, does Lucy Arnaz have any particular films of her mother's that she enjoys?
I think she really loves The Long, Long Trailer because her parents were in it together, having a lot of fun. She does like Stage Door, and I'm trying to think. What was it? Dance Girl Dance. She likes that one.
Well, that's my favorite. That's my favorite. I saw it recently on Turner Classic Movie too. So she has definitely good taste, and of course we need to talk about the I Love Lucy episodes. What are your favorite I Love Lucy episodes? You have two or three of those that stand out to you?
I do, and I like the more unusual ones. I love the one when Lucy finds out she's pregnant and tells Ricky Ricardo about it at the Tropicana Club, and I love it because it was so true to who they are and were. At that time, she was 41 years old. They were pregnant for the second, well, not for the second time, but it would be the second baby. They had lost quite a few babies, and she was older, and they didn't think that they would probably ever have another baby, and it was such a true moment for them when she tells him that she's having a baby and he realizes that she's having a baby. And it went from the Ricardos, for me, it went from the Ricardos to the Arnezes, and it went to that moment where she must have really told him that she was having another baby, and he completely kind of dissolves into tears, and the two of them are so happy, and it's so true, and it's such a wonderful moment between a married couple, married in real life and married on the show. And of course you have to love the one where they're out in Italy stomping on grapes and flying around. And I love some of the ones with Lucy and Ethel. I love the whole girlfriend action that was going on in that show when she and Ethel were getting into trouble and making up schemes, and when they were hanging on the side of the building in their painter's clothes and trying to get a look in the window to see if Desi was having an affair, and they're getting paint all over each other, and then they're climbing the Empire State Building dressed as Martians, and they're hitchhiking to Florida with a person that they think is an axe murderer. They had so many great moments, and Vivian Vance was so fantastic. The way that they played off of each other, they were just, it was just perfect. You can't even imagine ever anybody else being the Ethel Mertz character, even though Vivian Vance wasn't the first choice. But you just can't imagine anybody else playing Ethel or Fred.
They were great. That whole cast was just absolutely fantastic. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add about Lucille Ball before we bring James on?
I don't think so. I'm going to let Jimmy do his talking. I know he has a lot to say. He's a terrific guy, and I've known him for a long time, and I'm sure you'll have a great time talking to him.
Well, thanks so much, Elizabeth, for joining us on such short notice. I know you're very busy, and we really appreciate you taking time to be here, but would you be able to stay during James's interview?
Sure, I'll stay on.
Great. We're really happy that you can do that. Now, so our next guest is a recent graduate of Fordham University and a lifelong Lucille Ball fan. In fact, he could name every I Love Lucy episode in order at the age of 7. Can you believe that? And his book, Lucille Ball, FAQ, is absolutely terrific. I know our co-host has some questions for James, so you have the floor now, Jazz.
Oh, God, don't turn the floor over to me. I'll be totally lost. I think the floor just got shaken off over here.
Oh, no.
Jeez.
I'm still feeling the earthquakes. I'm so sorry.
Oh, we had two aftershocks, one of them actually during the show. So, yes.
Oh, wow.
That was interesting. But we got to move on to James. James, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Given your age, and, you know, we don't want to say that in a disparaging way, but it is kind of unusual in my experience when I run into people that are a lot younger than me but have the same tastes in movies and television and, you know, and the media and things. How did you get so interested in Lucille Ball? Because even, you know, in reruns, you don't see it that often. What first drew you to that?
I don't remember not loving Lucille Ball. I always watched the show. It was on Nick at Night and local stations when I was very little. And when I was 7 years old, I went to the Lucia Tribute, which is at Universal Studios in Florida. And they have a whole big tribute to Lucy there. And that was the first time I saw Lucy's work beyond I Love Lucy. And I was really fascinated by that. And after that, I just started reading everything I could and taping all the shows and collecting. And I've been a giant Lucy fan ever since then.
Some people in the modern era, particularly younger people, are occasionally critical, not just of Lucille Ball specifically, but of that genre that came out of that age, sort of depicting the wife as being perhaps less competent, maybe a bit silly, you know, the husband being in charge. How does that play, do you think, with a new generation of Lucy fans who are used to seeing women in more commanding roles?
I think people are okay with it. I mean, it's just the Lucy character, she's supposed to be childlike and everything. It's just the character that they weren't really making a statement or anything. And I mean, behind the scenes, Lucy was a big businesswoman and everything, so she really set the bar for women in television, and she really opened doors.
No, undoubtedly true. You wrote the book. You did the work with a co-author. As somebody who's a writer also, I can tell you that I know that can be challenging. How was the process for you for writing the book, for working with a co-author, for having to delve into that much material?
My co-author, Barry Monish, he's written many, many books on film, and he's the editor of the annual Screen World series for Applause Books. And Applause Books came to him and said they were doing a series called Frequently Asked Questions about different celebrities. Originally they just did musicians, and they were going to expand it to other performers. And they asked him if he was interested in writing a book about anybody. And he said no, but he knew someone who would be good to write a book about Lucille Ball if they were interested. Barry and I both work for the Paley Center for Media, which is the former Museum of Television and Radio. So we've worked together. So they were interested in a book about Lucy, and so he asked me if I'd be interested in writing it, and I said yes. And so we worked on it together. Any challenge we might have had, I think it was just time. We didn't have that much time to write the book. We only had about 5 months, so we worked separately mostly, but I would write something, show it to Barry, and he would do something and show it to me, and we had a lot to do in a short time.
I would imagine.
Well, you did, both of you did such a great job. I enjoyed this book so much, and I wanted to be sure to tell you that, and what I liked about it the most, well, there's lots of things that I liked about it, but what I really, really enjoyed, it had so many surprises. I mean, just little gems throughout the book. For example, how she felt about Betty Grable. Now, she thought Betty Grable, in your book you mentioned this, that she thought Betty Grable was the funniest person that she ever met off screen. Well, Betty Grable was one of my favorites, you know, growing up in high school, but she never came across as being funny on screen. So to know that she had this very, you know, humorous personality with her friends was a real revelation to me. And then the fact that Lucy worked at all major studios except Disney. Now, I just mentioned that she had made over 80 films, but I didn't realize that she made films at every one of the major studios. And so that chapter in the book, really, that section in the book, I just ate it up. And then I've often wondered about whether Lucille Ball sang her songs or was dubbed. And that whole section about, you know, the places where she was dubbed, the places that she actually sang, and then the places that nobody knows for sure, it was just so interesting. And I don't remember her this communist crisis that she went through. So those are some of the things, and there, I don't want to give everything away. There's just so much in this book, James, that Lucy's fans are going to really, really enjoy. And I like the way you organized the book. It's different. I mean, you can just go into the book any place, and you feel, you know, like you want to just dive in there and read that section. And then you have to go away a while and sort of digest it, and then you go back. It's 500 pages long. So you and Barry just did a great job on that. So my compliments. But I get to ask my favorite question here, and that is, what are your favorite Lucille Ball films? And I know you're more interested in the TV aspect.
Oh, not necessarily. I love her films too. I love all her work. Elizabeth said a lot of them. My favorite is probably her final film, Mame, which isn't necessarily a perfect film, but she, I think, is just terrific in it. I mean, she sings, she dances, she's funny, she's dramatic. It really, I think, shows off her talent in it.
I agree.
Yeah. The Facts of Life with Bob Hope is another one of my favorites. And that was the first thing she did after she divorced Desi, and it's a really sophisticated comedy about adultery with Bob Hope, and it's very different from anything she did. Dance Girl Dance, she's terrific in that. That's another thing that really shows off her talent, I think, because it shows comedy, drama. She sings and dances. She's actually singing in that movie. She's usually dubbed in most of her early films, but that one she's actually singing herself. The Big Street, definitely. She's terrific in that. She's dramatic. That's another one that's completely different from anything she did. Everything Elizabeth said, too. I mean, she did some really great work in the movies, I think.
Well, there were a lot of films. There were a lot of films, and Betty Jo wants to stay on the films, but most of us.
Yeah, I do. And for a few more minutes.
Oh, go ahead. Fine.
Before, thank you, Jazz. Before we go off of that, because I ordered Mame from Netflix. I saw it when it first came out, James, and I didn't remember too much about it, and I was comparing it, you know, with Rosalind Russell, Annie Mame. And so I wasn't giving it a fair shake. So I watched it a couple of weeks ago, and I agree with you. Lucille Ball was tremendous in this, and I know there was some criticism of her singing, but I thought her singing fit the character, and I noticed that when anybody would criticize that, her singing in Mame, she would always say, "Well, Mame stayed up all night drinking champagne. What did you expect, Julie Andrews?"
Right.
True.
Well, she wanted
That's
them
true.
To dub her voice in it, but they told her, Warner Brothers told her that they weren't doing that type of thing anymore in the movies. That was kind of an outdated 1940s MGM kind of thing, and so she sang the score herself.
Well, I thought it fit that character, and I'm so glad you mentioned Dance Girl Dance, because that is my favorite, and my favorite thing that she ever did in the movies is that number where she's sort of this sleazy burlesque dancer performer, and she sings a number. I thought it was called My Mother Told Me.
Yes.
But I guess it's called What Do I Do Now? And my gosh, she owned the stage. You felt like you were in a burlesque house. She owned the stage. The way she sang that song, her rapport with the audience, and her kind of campy burlesque dancing, it was absolutely hysterical. And I just thought that was one of her best films, and everybody so far has mentioned The Big Street, and if listeners, if you haven't seen The Big Street, please try to get a copy of that. I hope it's available on Netflix. I saw it on Turner Classic Movies. But this is a movie where Lucille plays a very selfish nightclub singer. And she gets hurt. And a shy busboy is the only one that stays by her and takes care of her. And that part is played by none other than Henry Fonda. And that's sort of not a, you know, not a typical Henry Fonda role. And the interaction between those two very, very different characters, it's a Damon Runyon story, and you just have to see it. I mean, that, don't you agree it's a must-see for Lucy fans?
Oh, I totally agree.
James?
I totally agree.
So anyway, I thank you for letting me get that off my chest. And Jazz, sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Well, actually, while you were talking, I was just checking, and for all the Netflix subscribers out there, The Big Street is available on Netflix. You can't get it on instant download yet, but you can order the DVD from 1942, the original. So and I've already seen it. That's good. So absolutely check that out. James, I want to get back to the TV episodes in a second, but Betty Jo just reminded me of something that I did want to ask you about. One of the, I don't want to say knocks, one of the characterizations that have been put forth over the years about Lucy was that she was best at playing Lucy, that her character on TV, that her character in a lot of these films, she was playing Lucille Ball. What do you think, having gone through all this material, what was her range as an actress? Did she, in your opinion, play a lot of different roles, or was she mostly just playing Lucy?
Oh, I think she was a wonderful actress. I think she did play a lot of roles. She, I mean, in her early films, they didn't really seem to know what to do with her, and they put her in a lot of different genres of film. She was in dramas and musicals and mysteries and westerns, and I think she's quite good in all of them. But she wanted to be typecast, she said. She wanted a character that people identified her with, and she found it with the Lucy character. But she continued to do dramatic things and things that weren't necessarily Lucy, like Lucy Ricardo. Her 1976 special, What Now, Captain Curtis, is a terrific showcase for her. She plays a woman who's going through a divorce, and the first 20 minutes of it is just a monologue by her, this long dramatic monologue, and it really shows what a terrific actress she is, I think. So she was still taking chances. I mean, one of the last things she did was the dramatic TV movie Stone Pillow, where she played a homeless woman. So continued to do non-Lucy things.
Yeah, and they were there. I just don't think they get enough attention. They don't get as much attention, I think, as the stuff that's more iconic of her work. Speaking of iconic, Betty Jo already asked you about the films. How about the TV episodes? There were some mentioned already. I have my own. What are the highlights from the Lucy show for you?
A lot of them that are my favorites are not the ones that people normally mention. One of my other favorites is called The Dancing Star, which is an episode in Hollywood where her friend Carolyn Appleby comes to visit. And Lucy had told her that she knew a lot of movie stars. And Van Johnson happens to be at the hotel and is asleep by the pool. And so Lucy pretends to be having a conversation with him. She pantomimes this whole conversation with a sleeping Van Johnson, and Carolyn, to impress Carolyn, is all the way up in Lucy's hotel room looking down from the balcony, and she's just marvelous in that scene, I think. And then at the end of the episode, she and Van Johnson do a musical number together that she's just terrific in, and I think that's one of her best performances, that whole episode. Ricky Needs an Agent is another episode where she pretends to be Ricky's agent and accidentally gets him fired from MGM. And she's terrific in the scene as Ricky's agent, I think. And then when she tells Ricky that she got him fired, he blows his top and ends up pretty much destroying their whole hotel room. And it's just a terrific scene for Desi. And Lucy is the straight woman in it, and she's great in that role, too. And they're both marvelous in that episode, I think. Another one of my favorites is called Lucy Has Her Eyes Examined, where she has her eyes dilated before she's supposed to do a dance number at Ricky's Club to audition for a Broadway show. And so she's doing this dance number, and she can't see anything and messes everything up. And I think that's another hilarious episode with her.
I remember that one. This brings us a little bit full circle back to the very first question that I asked you. Lucy's character, particularly on the show, sort of was iconic of that different sort of bygone era, where women were a little bit more subservient, all that. It was more of a comical thing. It doesn't really relate to how women are pictured in television and films today. Why is Lucille Ball still so relevant? Why are people so interested? Why is it still running on Nick at Night? Why is it still so popular, do you think, when it really, there is sort of a culture gap, I'm sure you would admit, between the material that was done in the 50s and today?
Well, I think the humor is kind of timeless. I mean, of course, maybe the interplay between the married couple might be considered of its time, but I think it's funny, it's a timeless funny. I think people still watch it because of her talent. It's just unbelievable. I think people are amazed by that. And the relationship between those characters, Lucy and Ricky and Fred and Ethel, I think people still enjoy it.
Sure. We should get back to the book. Betty Jo, why don't you handle that?
Well, what I was wondering about is, James, if you could pick three words to describe Lucille Ball, which would those three words be?
I would say pioneer. She opened doors for women, definitely, I think, in the business. She owned her own studio. She really set the way for many people, I think. And her sitcom set the bar for all of this that followed. They really pioneered the way that the sitcom was filmed, Desi and that whole group. I would say actress because, as we were saying, she's more than just a comedian. I think if people kind of referred to her as a comedian or a clown, they're kind of shortchanging or undervaluing what she did. She was more than that. She really did some wonderful work that wasn't necessarily Lucy or funny. So she could really, she was really wonderful in other roles that weren't her normal role that people think of her in. And legend, I mean, all anyone has to do is say Lucy and people know who they're talking about. There are people that are famous for a time and then they kind of fade away, but she's still a recognizable worldwide icon who people still love.
Absolutely. The words that I was thinking about are similar. I picked powerhouse because she was, I think, the first woman to own and run a movie studio, and then multi-talented, because I agree with you that she was more than just a comedian. And then Universal, I think you've said timeless, but Universal, she appealed to people all over the world because they knew, they reacted to her comedy, her slapstick comedy, her facial expressions, and no wonder TV Guide picked her as the greatest television star of all time. I certainly agree with their selection. But you know what? I think we should check with Danny to see how things are going in the chat right now. Danny, are there any questions or comments that you'd like to bring up for James and Elizabeth?
Yes, there was one question, and then there was a little story that was put in there that I liked. So the question was, what film was it that Lucille Ball starred where her character was in a wheelchair?
Oh, that's The Big Street.
The Big Street
there
is
we go.
Right.
There's the answer. And then Sam Keith of the chat room put in there, this is a cool little story, and he said you can find the interview on YouTube. Larry Fine, of the Three Stooges said in an interview not long before he died that Lucille Ball was one of the best actresses that he worked with, and that Harry Cumb, the owner of Columbia, was an idiot to let her go. And the interview can be found on YouTube. I'll try to hurry and get that link and post it in the chat room.
Oh, those are great reactions from the chat room. Any response, James?
Oh, I never heard that before. Lucy was in the 1934 Three Stooges short, Three Little Pigskins, and she was under contract to Columbia for a short time, and then they let their whole stock company go, and Lucy's one of the people that was fired. But she got a job at RKO later that night, so the few hours that she was out of a job, she said that was the only time she was unemployed in Hollywood all her years there.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so see, you learned something new from our chatters. Thank you, chatters. Appreciate that. I wanted also to thank some of the people who have sent me emails when they heard that we were doing a show in tribute to Lucille Ball. And I wanted to share some of what they sent to us. Sharon, the story lady, who was a guest on our show a couple of years ago, said, "I loved Lucy. I probably saw every episode. My favorites are the Grapes one and the Chocolate Factory. Too funny, both of them. She was an exceptional talent. I found her comforting to watch, like spending time with an old friend." And she said, "I also liked the episodes of when they lived in the country." And then Albert from On the Bright Side here at BTR says, "I'm in that age bracket where I can remember all other family activity came to a halt, and supper was planned around I Love Lucy. My two favorite episodes were the one where she was crushing grapes in the vat and the one where she was working in a chocolate factory. All the ones where she tried in some way to get into one of Ricky's shows were too numerous for my mind to sort." I'm so glad Albert's mentioned about Lucy trying to get into Ricky's shows, because those are some of my favorites. And then Nancy from Comedy Concepts here on Blog Talk Radio was actually an extra, James, in the film Stone Pillow.
Oh, wow.
And she said, "I met Lucille Ball briefly when I was an extra in Stone Pillow. I said, 'I love your work.' And she said, 'Thanks, kid.'" So that was her encounter. And Olivia Wilder, another popular Blog Talk Radio host, said, "No one loves Lucy like I love Lucy." She's put up a challenge here, I think. "She's my fellow Leo. I grew up thinking I would be her." So Olivia sounds a little bit like Danny, thinking that she's at least like Lucy. So yes, indeed, everyone does love Lucy. I'm reminded when James, when you talked about Lucille Ball being an actress, not just a comedian, because another quote that got a lot of play from Lucille Ball was when she said, "I am not funny. What I am is brave." Now, does that jive with you? Would you agree with that quote?
Definitely. She always said she wasn't naturally funny. She said she needed a script, and she had wonderful writers who wrote for her, and everything that was seen on Lucy was written in the script. She didn't ad-lib anything. They were very detailed about things that she did on the show.
Yes, and Elizabeth, does that meet with your approval, that quote where Lucille Ball says she's not funny, she's brave?
Well, I would disagree that she's not funny, certainly, because we all have our opinions on that. But that was certainly her opinion, and she did always give so much credit to her writers for saying that they wrote it all, and I just did it. So they all really shared the credit. Lucy always gave the credit to Desi. Desi always gave the credit to her. Everybody gave the credit to the writers. So they were really a bunch of people who just loved to work together and came out with some fantastic stuff. So it was a great team.
Yes, and it came across loud and clear in their shows together. Now, why is it that the Chocolate Factory and the Stomping on the Grapes, everybody seems to remember those two? James, what was so special about those two episodes?
People just seem to take to them for some reason. They're very funny episodes, and people seem to love them. And those are usually the ones that when they're showing like The Genius of Lucy or the popularity of I, Lucy and TV shows, they usually show clips of those. And Biting Me to Benjamin, which is another one.
That was the one.
So
I wanted
people
to
see them a lot.
What show was? What episode was that in? Vita Benjamin.
It was.
And describe that episode.
It was called Lucy Does a TV Commercial. It was an episode from the first season, and Lucy kind of congs her way into doing a television commercial during a guest shot Ricky's doing on a variety show, and she has to rehearse it over and over again, and she doesn't know that the product, which is a vitamin tonic called Vitamin to Benjamin, contains 23% alcohol. So as she rehearses it, she gets drunker and drunker.
I remember that one. I wonder if that's on YouTube. That is a hilarious. Thank heavens for YouTube and for Netflix and for Turner Classic Movies so we can see, and DVDs so that we can see Lucy in action. Now I wanted to ask you, James, how has your book been received so far? It's been out since when?
Came out in June, the middle of June, so it's been out for about 2 months now. People seem to be enjoying the book, I'm glad to say, and we fortunately received a lot of press a few weeks ago when it was the 100th anniversary of Lucy's birth. So I hope people like it.
Well, I don't know why anyone would not like it, because it's really, as you say, it's everything left to know about America's favorite redhead, except, I guess, for what Elizabeth has put in all things in celebrating Lucy. So with those two books, I think you can't go wrong. Now, where can people get a copy of Lucille Ball FAQ?
They can get it from Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble at their local bookstores. They can contact the publisher, which is Applause Books, which is a division of Hal Leonard. So they can probably go to their local bookstore and get it if they can't find it online.
Great, and I definitely encourage everyone to order a copy of that book and to order copies of the books that Elizabeth has told us about also. Now, I wanted to ask each of you, what's the most important thing you want our listeners to know about you and your book or books? I'll ask Elizabeth that first.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I hope that people enjoy it. In the 60th book, we tried to figure out what hadn't already been written in all the other books that have been written, because there have been so many books written about her and about the show. So we have things in there about fashion, about the food that they ate on the show, about the historical moments, what was going on at the time, who was the president, you know, things like that. So we tried to put things in there that hadn't been put in other books. And it wasn't easy because there's nothing
new.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's been done for 60 years, so there's nothing new to say. We just had to kind of find different things to put in. So there are some recipes there was a lot of food that went on that show. In almost every episode, they were eating or drinking or preparing for a party or a dinner or something like that. So there was a lot of eating going on. And just some interesting things about the time period, you know, what was going on with women, and it was the post-war and things like that. So I hope everybody will enjoy it.
Well, it sounds like a great read. And how about you, James?
I mean, this book, it's all about Lucy's life and career, and it's not a criticism or expose of Lucible or anything. It's an appreciation that we wrote to enlighten and entertain, and her entire personal professional life was fascinating. beyond what people already know about her and I Love Lucy, and we hope that we could draw attention to that and leave people feeling even more impressed by what she accomplished. So I hope people enjoy it.
Well, I know I certainly did, and I'm still enjoying it because I keep wanting to check on things, and I'll go back to it because, as I mentioned earlier, I did pay more attention to the parts about her films and was so happy with so much of the inside information that you packed into this book. And right now I'm looking more at the episodes, the I Love Lucy episodes. James, what was the skinny on the communist crisis with Lucille Ball?
Lucy's father died when before she was even 4 years old, and she was her and her mother and her brother, they lived with her grandfather, and he was kind of a socialist. He believed in the working man. He was a factory worker before there were unions and everything, so he really sympathized with the working man. And he kind of so when Lucy and her mother and her brother when Lucy was of voting age, her grandfather convinced her and her mother and her brother to register for the Communist Party, which wasn't considered to be anything bad or scandalous at the time. And her grandfather had a stroke, and he was in ill health. So they just did it to kind of humor him. They didn't see anything wrong with it. They just wanted to please an elderly ill man. And years later, this was in 1936, and then years later in 1953, when I Love Lucy was the number one show in the country, it came out that Lucille Ball had registered with the Communist Party.
Wow.
But she never voted communist or anything like that. Her registration was terminated after a couple of years. So she had just registered to please her grandfather. And that for a few days, that was a gigantic news story, and they there was an investigation, and Lucy came up clear and everything, and Desi made a speech before the I Love Lucy episode that was filmed that week, saying the only thing red about Lucy is her hair, and not even that is legitimate. And she was completely cleared of everything, and people loved her even more after that.
That was really an interesting part of the book because I repressed that or just didn't pay any attention to anything about Lucille Ball except, you know, how she was doing in the movies. But I like that comment that Desi made too, because I guess that Lucille Ball was a brunette, and it wasn't until Du Barry Was a Lady, I think, which was a Technicolor movie, that she showed up on screen with the red hair, which just, oh, she was just absolutely stunning. And I remember in MAME, she had all different colors of hair. I mean, she was
yes.
a brunette, she was a blonde, she was a redhead. So so what Desi said, I thought was a good way, you know, a good way to handle that. Well, I cannot believe that our time is almost up, even though we extended the show for 60 minutes. I just want to thank you so much, Elizabeth and James, for being such terrific guests. And thanks to the folks at Blog Talk Radio and at WRSP 936 for their support, and to our chatters and the people who sent me emails, and to our other listeners for tuning in. Special thanks to Jazz and Danny, as always, for all their help, and to the great Lucille Ball for giving us so much pleasure with her entertaining performances on film and television. What a fun and enlightening discussion that was, folks. I hope everyone enjoyed listening to it. But time now for a brief message from one of our loyal listeners.
Hi, comedian Nancy Lombardo here, host of Comedy Concepts Blog Talk Radio. And when I need my movie fix, you'll know where I'll be found. That's right, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., listening to Betty Jo Tucker on Movie Addict Headquarters.
Thanks so much, Nancy, for that great promo. And, dear listeners, be sure to check out Nancy's very funny Comedy Concepts show right here on Blog Talk Radio each Monday and Friday mornings, well, practically every Monday and Friday morning, at 10:30 Eastern Time. Another entertaining show that you should check out is airs on Dream Stream Radio. It's called The Mom and Pop Shop Show. It's hosted by Mr. Showbiz himself, George Bettinger, and you can check it out on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And don't forget about all the diverse shows on the Wacko Radio Network here on Blog Talk Radio. There are too many to mention, but rest assured there's something for everybody. So get your whackness on and make sure that you check out the Wacko Bob shows on the Wacko Radio Network here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, I don't want to forget to thank today's chatters. And I want to mention, I'm so happy that Nancy Lombardo from Comedy Concepts and Wacko Bob were in the chat room today, and they're still there. They're so supportive of Movie Addict Headquarters. Nancy never forgets to mention Movie Addict Headquarters on her shows, and Wacko Bob always lets me call in on Tuesday mornings to let everyone know what's going to be happening on Movie Addict Headquarters. And I also want to be sure to thank Nikki Starr, our producer extraordinaire, for everything she does to make Movie Addicts happen. And thanks also again to Jazz Shaw, Danny Dyer, and Richard B. Smart for their wonderful help. Please come back next time when our special guest will be filmmaker Misha Zubarev, publicist Denise Cassino, and film historian James Cold Harrison. In the meantime, don't forget to check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. That's all for now, folks. And as promised, let's close the show with the great Lucille Ball performing her tongue-in-cheek burlesque number, complete with audience reaction and wind machine sound effects. It's from Dance Girl Dance, one of my favorite Lucille Ball films. So get ready, everyone. Here comes Mother. What do I do now?
And fortunate to present to you, in her daring novel specialty, Manhattan's Tiger Lily White.
Give all you got, baby.
They couldn't take it.
Goody, goody, just a baby in the woody. Love has got me worried and perplexed.
Oh, yeah?
Gosh, oh, gee, I want my mama. Goodness me, I need my mama. Maybe she could tell me what comes next.
I'll tell ya.
My mother told me there'd be days like this when I wouldn't know what to do. She told me what not to do. She said some boy would take me in his arms and tell me, oh, what lies. But did Mother realize the boy would be you? Or you?
She means me.
No, not you.
Oh, me,
you?
Me.
It's a date, honey.
Or you? What boat you off, buddy? My mother told me, better count to 10. Then if that doesn't do the trick, start counting again. I counted up to 10, 1,000 times, but I kissed him anyhow. Oh, mother, tell me, what do I do now? Mother told me there'd be days like this when the wind would begin to blow and I wouldn't know where to go. She said the night would be so cold and dark and I'd be all alone and every dream I own would blow away. keep warm. Keep your little self bundled up when you're caught in a storm. She told me just exactly what to do, but didn't tell me how.